Hey, everybody, it's Allison Kaczkowski. Thanks for joining me again today for another edition of our very successful Tuesday flagship show, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. This is our baby. This was my very first show, and it's probably my favorite one to record because we always get to talk to such amazing people since we went to an interview format a few years ago, not just about what people are going through, but also so people can share their stories, because not only do we learn a lot from other people's challenges, but I think there's a part of us that looks for ourselves in their stories, because I don't think any of us really want to feel like we're all alone and we're out here by ourselves. And today, my guest is Michelle Locke. She is an attorney, and she has had quite the self-care journey of her own. We're going to talk a little bit about overcoming challenges, navigating divorce, and managing a very successful law practice and just being who she is. So thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me. I was really looking forward to this.
Awesome. Fantastic. So obviously, I've sort of let the cat out of the bag. You're an attorney. I told everybody that. But tell us a little bit more about Michelle, who she is, how you got to where you are now.
Sure. I really decided to be a lawyer, I think, at age 8 or 9. Yeah. My parents got divorced, ugly divorce. I think my dad, who was a doctor, told me that if I ever became a lawyer, he'd disown me. And I think the minute he said that, I was like, done, I'll become a lawyer. And I don't think I ever deviated from that. I mean, I really couldn't see myself doing anything else. And then I really only ever saw myself doing family law simply because my entire life was built to do family law. I mean, I've seen all sides, all spectrums of families that go through divorce. Mm-hmm. And then I became, at age 32, I became a part-time municipal court judge. And then I think at 33, I became a full-time associate family court judge that handled protective orders, domestic violence, CPS, a drug court helping to reunify parents who were losing their children to the system due to substance abuse.
Wow.
And I think while doing that, I handled over 5,000 cases while on the bench doing that.
Yeah.
I left the bench in 2016 and moved out to Central Texas and started all over again in another private practice because I missed cross-examination. And I continued really just kind of pounding the pavement and trying to make a name for myself in a new city, in a new area, and raise kids at the same time. I was an instant mother at age 23 when I met my husband, who had two girls of his own. I raised them, raised my own three boys. And so the kids now are, I think, the oldest stepdaughter's 30, and then we got 28. And then my boys are 21, 19, and 10. No, wow. 10 wasn't an accident. I wanted a girl, but God said, no, you get another Y chromosome. I said, all right. I'm a boy, boy mom through and through.
Yeah.
But really, one of the reasons why I'm talking to you today is that I really, in October of 2000, right, you know, so during COVID, my health went to crap, basically. And I had engaged since October 2020 in quite the journey of self-care and really learning that I epically failed in taking care of myself. I succeeded in taking care of everyone else in my family. But when I sat back and realized that I was making doctor's appointments for everyone except for myself, and not a single person in my family was doing the same for me, I decided that enough was enough.
Yes, and so this from so many people that we talk to. It's like it just feeds into the whole BS myth, if you will, that's out there, that if you put yourself first, you're being selfish. And I know you agree with me on that.
One of my slogans is self-care is not selfish. It is an absolute must. Yeah. And it's not petties and manies. Yeah. I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah.
But it's your mammograms. It's your colonoscopies. It's your basic health care. That I know, the mammogram I went to, but a lot of things you just ignore. Oh, no, that pain. I ignored a pain in my neck and numbness in my hands for 5 years.
Wow.
For five years, I ignored it.
It just thinks off because I think the thought of, you know, is for as amazing as our healthcare system is, I think it really scares people too. It's like, well, I don't want to go because then I'm going to have to really address that. And I don't really want to do that.
Yeah, who wants to admit you're not perfect, or not completely healthy, but I will tell you this, your body will let you know.
Yeah.
And my body said, thank you for ignoring me. Here's your payback.
Yeah. So let me start with then, you've obviously been very successful, very driven. you know, knew you wanted to be an attorney since you were a child. I knew I was going to be an entrepreneur even when I was 7 or 8 years old and ran a lemonade stand on the golf course that was close to my parents' house. So yeah, I get you, knowing like where you're going to go. But work with me here for a minute. What I'm hearing you say is, I had all that figured out. I'm very successful, driven, smart, knew what I needed to do. I mean, being an attorney isn't a walk in the park. You know, there's a commitment that's involved with that. But somewhere along the line, you became super successful at all that, but not super successful at being Michelle.
Oh, I was an epic failure at being me. I was great for my clients. I sacrificed. And then, so in Texas, we still have jury trials for family law cases, which no other state has. And jury trials are a next level of time and energy suckage, is what I call it.
Yeah, totally.
And I can tell you, I've had a couple of clients that have absolutely taken years off my life. And why? I mean, I care about my clients.
Is it just stress with it? Is it just the fact that it's dragged out?
It's stressful. It's having to manage. In family law, if you are going to trial over your divorce, then someone involved typically has a personality disorder. Because most reasonable people will come to a reasonable conclusion. It may not be exactly everything they wanted, but most people try to avoid the courtroom.
Yeah.
But when you deal with the high contested custody litigation cases like that I do and the contested ugly divorces, there's always some really stressful fact, some really bad fact, substance abuse. I had one recently where there was allegations of sexual abuse of not a child of the marriage, someone else, but very stressful. And then you're dealing with clients in their worst situation in life. Everyone said there's the worst things in life are death, divorce, and taxes.
Yeah.
And divorce is that. I mean, so I'm dealing with clients in managing their emotions or helping them manage their emotions at the worst time of their life, because a lot of them didn't plan on getting divorced.
Yeah.
And even an easy divorce is still a stressful divorce. So you add on going to court on top of that, and then it's exponentially stressful. And I try to take a lot of that burden off of my clients because that's my job, but that wore me down because I didn't take care of myself.
Well, and it really sounds like now that, you know, obviously, you've had a wake-up call. You've had lots of things happen that you've had to like take time off to fix. So I guess before I go there, what was that one moment when everything changed? I mean, everybody's got that, what I call that come to Jesus moment, where you're sitting there and you're like, you know what? This shit's going to change. So when was that moment for you?
You know, I would like to say it was after my first major surgery in November 2020. It wasn't. I would probably say that the big aha was in when I left. My husband and I had a big argument in March, early March. It was a Sunday. And I left the house and I never came back. And I've been gone since, and the divorce was filed. Divorce has been finalized. And I had both my knee replacements done. One of them was done within 2 weeks of moving out of my house. So I had to find an Airbnb to stay in while I was healing for a couple of weeks before I could find a place to move into. Wasn't well planned, but I just didn't want to go back. And I think it was really between those that I had in a meeting with some really good friends that cared about my best interest that really just kind of said, you're not doing okay. And I wasn't. And I think it was at that point where I just really, I had to put myself first, and I wasn't. Even in my recovery, I mean, I did, after one of my cervical fusions, I did a jury trial 10 days after it. So I was in a C-collar in a jury trial. That was stupid on my part, but I was taught to be superwoman. I remember if I had scrapes or bruises, well, is a bone sticking out or you're massively bleeding? No, you're fine. Put some dirt in it, keep going. And that's been my attitude for everything my entire life. Just keep going, keep plugging away, keep going.
Yeah.
And I tried to muscle through recovery. And y'all, you can't muscle through recovery.
Well, it's like I was just having this conversation with a friend the other day who is having some serious problems with one of her shoulders. And what I was trying to tell her is that pain is not normal. When something hurts, it's our body's way of trying to get our attention. Now, sometimes we can work it out and it's like something small that you can fix, but sometimes it's not.
Yep.
And as amazing as our body is, right? When something hurts, we have to like stop and say, you know what? That is not normal. And if it keeps happening, it's not normal.
Yep. Oh, I said I ignored it for 5 years, numbness in my hands and like the constant pain in my shoulders and neck. Mm-hmm. And my doctor, I ended up in surgery within probably less than 14 days from my MRI results because he was telling me I was risking permanent paralysis. Wow. I ignored it for 5 years. As I'm saying, the surgery, pain was gone. I mean, other than surgical pain,
immediately
feeling of my hands came back, fixed. So clearly that was the problem, but ignored it for 5 years.
So is it fair to say then that all the stress that you've been under and just this constant hustle and grind and push contributed to your body breaking down?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't have being in a difficult marriage, being in a difficult practice of work, absolutely took a toll on my body. And it took a toll on my body in multiple ways, but I also at one point was close to 300 pounds. I mean, and over since 2021, I've now lost probably 110, 115 pounds. It was life changing. But I was really on a path.
I'm a different version of yourself.
Oh,
change like that, right? Your identity is different.
Oh, it's crazy how much it changes, but it's also crazy about how your brain still thinks you are what you were. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does. Like, I look myself in the mirror and go, oh, God, I'm still have, you know, 40 pounds to lose, and I just don't. But I was heading towards an early death. I don't have any doubt. Wow. And then it took one doctor who didn't clear me for my knee replacement, which was supposed to be in December of 2023, because my surgeons and I had planned out my ankle replacement and both my knee replacements. Ankle we did first because that's the hardest to recover from and the most painful.
Shoulders are the toughest.
Oh, ankles. It was awful. I would not recommend it to anyone. I was in a wheelchair for 3 months. Awful. But I couldn't get clearance for that December knee. I was at stroke level blood pressure. I had to go get iron infusions because I was so anemic. So I could not qualify for surgery. That was the first time I'd never qualified for surgery. And my blood pressure was so high. It terrified me.
So
that was probably the first because I wasn't gonna be around for my son anymore. And I still had, you know, one was a senior in high school, one already graduated, but I had at that time an 8-year-old.
Yeah.
And I don't think, but for that doctor, because I remember sitting in his office when he wouldn't clear me and I just bawled. And because I wasn't okay.
Yeah.
And everyone asks us, how you doing? And we always say, fine, great. It's okay to say you're not okay.
Yeah. 100%.
And I wish more people understood that, to tell your friend.
It's not a sign of weakness. That's another BS myth that's out there. Right?
It is. To me, it's a sign of strength.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it takes a lot to say, I'm not okay, please help.
Yeah.
I think most people would be shocked and surprised at how much their friends are willing to step up and say, I'll absolutely help you. But
I'll take it one step further. I think it's important, and I'm speaking to the people out there who are friends of people who are struggling and are carrying a lot of excess baggage or whatever. Sometimes it's not, what can I do to help? Sometimes it's just deciding that you're going to help. Like making the decision that, you know what? I'm going to go pick up dinner for you tonight. And I'll be at your house at 6:00. Or could I send my cleaning lady over to clean your house for you on Friday or whatever? It's like, I think what we have to do is get over this whole idea that we're either going to offend somebody or put somebody off and just decide that, you know what, I'm going to do this to help because it's the right thing to do.
100% agree. It's really easy just to step up and say, hey, here's a lasagna I made for you. Or here's some, you know,
right.
It doesn't take anything off your back. It doesn't, like you and I talked about before we started recording, it doesn't cost you anything to be kind.
Right.
It doesn't cost you anything to go help someone out because we never know just how bad it is of what someone is going through.
The real truth is that everybody is fighting a battle that we know nothing about.
Yep.
And for people out there listening that can look around and say, well, so-and-so has it really good. she doesn't understand or whatever. That is totally not true. I've never believed that for 1 minute.
Socials
are
so
much going on behind the scenes. And if we just focus on, to your point, being kind and taking that extra minute to hold the door or give someone a kind word or a word of encouragement, or you know what? I've got it. Don't worry about it. Just because it's the right thing to do. But I also think that we have this tricky thought that, okay, I don't want to offend her. I don't want to put her off. I don't want to, you know, do anything like that. And I don't, and I also don't want to overstep my boundary. So what do you say to that? So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Celevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Celevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Celevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day. And what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Celevate.com, which is C-E-L-L-E-V-8.com. And use my special promo code, the Allison K 2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this.
Oh, you know, there's always a catch 22 or where's the line. And I would probably err on the side of going overboard because the worst I can say is no.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather make the attempt and the attempt not be needed than to never do it and it be needed.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's true. You know, everyone is going through something. Yeah. And I would venture to tell most listeners that those that have the most perfect lives on socials are the ones that have the most problems and are the most unhappy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I get to see behind the curtain because of what I do for a living.
Yeah.
And totally. And I see their social media posts and I know what's going on because I'm handling the divorce. But the ones that are that perfect, y'all, with the white picket fences and what looks like the perfect life.
Well, the perfect life doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist.
It just doesn't, you know. We do the best we can with what we have, and we try to live the example of what we want to be every day. I must say that a million times to people every day, but it's the truth.
Oh, absolutely. And no one has. I mean, you're right. I Beyonce and Jay-Z, they got all the money in the world. Doesn't mean they have a perfect life. I mean, it's just everyone's got problems. Everyone's got issues. And that's why I think it's so important to be kind. And I really think it's something we've really gotten away from.
Yeah, I agree.
I think we've gotten to a point sometimes
where we're almost too concerned about what other people will think of us. Or we sit there and we question, is this the right thing to do? And I'm like, since when to being kind, when do we have to ask ourselves that? Is this the right thing to do? You know, at the end of the day, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? You know,
I'm going to say no or no, thank you. That's the worst. And I tell my kid that all the time.
Something and they don't acknowledge it. Doesn't matter. You've done it.
You've done it.
No. Yeah. Right.
I always tell my kids, I'm like, the worst thing that someone could tell you is no.
Yeah.
And then you were in the same position you were to begin with. So why not take that chance? Why not pick up that phone and say, hey,
that's what my mother used to tell all of us growing up. I'm the oldest of four kids is, you know, take the initiative. Just be the one that says, I'm going to take care of this,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just let the chips fall where they may, right?
Well, it's great advice. I mean, and is what I tell my kids is you go out there and try and do it and keep putting one foot in front of the other and either it'll pan out or if it doesn't, some other door will open, but you keep going. Now I've learned, though, that you need to add in self-care to that keep going.
Oh.
Because you can't keep going unless you take care of yourself.
Yeah. So let's go back to that just for a few minutes before we move on. So you've had several surgeries. You've lost 100 pounds, which is amazing, considering that you've been running a business and raising kids and all the things that you're doing. So talk to us a little bit then about how you operate now, because I'm sure people listening are like, what exactly is she doing now that's so different other than listening to your body?
Listening to my body more is really, really number one, because your body really lets you know.
Yeah.
And so that is probably the number one thing I'm doing. The number two thing I'm doing is I've gotten so much better at boundaries and saying no.
Mm-hmm.
No is the most powerful word to use. It is also the word that we use the least when we should use it the most.
Yeah.
And I'm also a lot more trusting my gut. And so if I like, and then if I'm tired, I'm done. I'll go to bed at 8 o'clock at night if I'm tired. Like, it's just.
And I think we just have to trust ourselves that we can draw the line and say, that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever it is, it's enough because we're enough. Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, I am enough. I'm probably a little extra at times.
But
it really is. It's no is a powerful word, and it's okay to tell your friends, no, I really don't want to go out. As opposed to, yeah, I'll go out because you don't want to disappoint them.
Or they say people a laundry list of reasons why you don't want to go. Sometimes no is just enough.
It is just enough. You don't have to give an excuse. No, I don't want to go. But people are, and I was afraid to say no. I've lived half my life because my mother raised me by people pleasing. That's what I was raised to do. Make everyone else happy but yourself.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, no, I'm coming first.
If you think about it, comes from a very lackful place. I mean, you know, I think it's like we can be of service. Absolutely. We should always be of service. But we shouldn't do it at our own expense. That's
correct.
A complete fabrication. And unfortunately, I think you're right. I think there are a lot of people that were raised that way.
You know, the generation, because are you Generation X like I am? I think you are, yeah. When I was raised, probably similar to you, my mom, because my parents got divorced and my mom ended up in a really bad situation because my dad was, you know, who he was. But I was raised to get an education, become a professional, always be able to support myself and not rely on a man. But at the same time, be the perfect wife that did, you know, cooked and put the hot meals on the table at night, made sure that I was in the school doing stuff for the kids, made sure I had all the doctor's appointments done, took the kids to all their appointments, signed the kids up for all the activities, took them to all their activities, watched all their activities. I was taught to do it all. And it's, y'all, you can't.
If you can't, you're just weak.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you can't do it all.
Yeah.
Something's going to suffer. And if you keep doing it all, at some point, your body's going to make you check out.
Yeah.
For a while.
And then you can't be any use to anyone.
Correct. And that's the worst case of it. And it's really okay if you don't watch every dance class.
Yeah.
It's really okay if you don't watch every football practice.
Yeah.
Like, go sit in the car and read or do something that you enjoy doing, because they will be okay if you don't watch them every practice.
Yeah. Interesting.
They just will. And I think that when we have those kids and are the working professionals, somehow we believe that we have to watch every practice, and it's just not reality. And then in the end, you end up really suffering with ulcers. And, you know, I've had 15 surgeries, major surgeries, since October 2020. It's just been rough. And it is solely because I let the stress of everything take its toll on me in one way or another.
It's a killer. It's a real killer. And it's something that we can kind of poo-hoo all we want, but it's a real killer.
I can tell
you. Energy never lies. And really what you're saying is everything that you're trying to manage just kind of lived in your body all the time.
It did.
And it just took its toll after a while, right?
It did. And I'm telling you, I don't know, but for that one moment at that doctor's office that I would be here talking to you today.
Yeah. Wow.
So.
Well, I can definitely say that was your come to Jesus moment.
Yeah.
Listened and you said, you know what, I'm going to do something different. And by talking about it, somebody listening can hopefully be helped by that too.
Well, and that's my goal. That's kind of why I started this back in. So when I got moved out of my house, I really decided, I said, okay, someone's got to learn from my mistakes so they don't make it again.
Yeah.
And so I really am pretty open about who I am and what I've gone through. Because lots of people will see, well, you were a judge, you're an attorney, you're super successful, you have it all together. Y'all know I don't. I'm no different than anyone else.
We're all just doing the best we can.
We are all surviving each and every day. I happen to be good in the courtroom, but other people are good at their jobs as well, too. It just, we all bleed red.
Yep.
We all get stressed. And
yep.
my stress may be different than your stress, it doesn't mean that my stress is more or your stress is less.
Stress is stress. Right.
And it really does kill you. And it's not worth it.
Yeah.
My clients, if I had stroked out back in December of 2022, would have moved on to another attorney and been fine.
Yeah.
I'm replaceable to my clients. I am not replaceable to my children.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally. And that was kind of the choice.
Yeah. Say it again.
Yeah.
So in terms of like how you, when you think about your life and you think about this journey you've been on and how you've been able to literally like change who you are from what you look like to how you operate to basically like what you talk about now, it's like I'm thinking about the people listening who maybe are at that point where they're just like, something's got to give. What do you say to them?
You can make the change. It is possible. You may have never succeeded before at doing it, but it doesn't mean you won't succeed the next time you try it. I remember sitting on an airplane and I was flying to my cousin's bachelorette party, and I'd gotten so big that I was going to have to ask for a seatbelt extender. I've never been more mortified in my life. And so for the entire flight, I covered my belt buckle so they couldn't tell whether it was buckled or not because I was going to refuse to ask for a seatbelt extender. And that day changed my weight history for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And I've been on a journey to lose weight since then. And there are tools, medical tools that help. And I will tell people, don't be afraid to use them. I mean, there's a reason why we have vaccines. There's a reason why we have modern medicine. There's a reason why we have the life expectancy that we have. It's because of modern medicine. Use it. They are not cures. They are not one-stop shop fixes.
That's
you have to continually.
Solution. It's enough to get you started, then do it, is what
then
you're
do
saying.
It. Yeah. Then do it. Absolutely do it. And I'll never forget that flight. I was mortified. But I've been losing weight since then.
But I think really what you talk about is just so, I think so many people can relate to that. It's like, I think you have that moment where you're like, you know what? This shit is going to change. I'm not doing this anymore. And I think we've all had at least one of those moments in our life about something where we're like, we're not doing this the same way anymore, right?
It's the aha moment.
Yeah, totally.
It is. It's an aha. Yeah. I'm like, and you really do. They talk about like with alcohol, you get sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. I got sick and tired of being who I was because it wasn't, I became someone I no longer recognized in the mirror. And that was enough for
me. Also, like, I can only imagine being the size that you were, what was going through your mind with what people thought of you. Because I sometimes have to stop and check myself a little bit. I've been in health and fitness all of my life. I was a competitive swimmer growing up. That's been my background. I've helped thousands of people, you know, with their workout and fitness goals. And, you know, I have to stop and check myself sometimes that not everybody has had a positive relationship with activity and movement like I have all of my life and how much it's part of who I am, right? And I know that for people who have a significant amount of weight to lose, that it just can't be easy to kind of sit there and think, you know what? I know people, and right now, I know colleagues who are like huge and they're just kind of like, well, I'm just the fat girl. And I'm like, it doesn't have to be like that.
You get used to it. You become, and I know I did, self-deprecating. I would make the joke about myself before someone else did.
Yeah.
And it's a bad habit that I still do now.
And,
but you do. You lose. I can't tell you the excitement. I went shopping a couple weeks ago. because I literally have no clothes that fit anymore.
I bet.
And so I was able to go buy off the rack mediums. And without even trying on, I bought them like, yeah, those will fit. I haven't been able to do that in like over 20 years.
I bet.
And I just wanted to sit down and cry.
Yeah. Well, you want to like give yourself a huge kudos because do you know how many people have probably tried to lose weight and just give up before they see any results, but you stuck with it?
Well, but I was the one that gave up plenty of times before.
Yeah.
But that last time, that damn seatbelt on the airplane and never again.
Yeah.
And I swore to myself, never again.
Yeah.
That was one that my brain listened to.
Amazing.
And the other thing I tell people is your brain doesn't understand try.
Yeah.
Your brain only understands to do.
Yeah.
Or you're going to do something. You're not going to try to do it. You're going to do it. Period. Yeah.
Well, and we have to keep telling ourselves, I'm going to do this.
Because
our brain's going to give us all the reasons why it's not going to work. Right? That's just how human brains are. It's like they want to keep us safe. They want to keep us like hiding back here just because some tiger out there might eat us, right?
Right.
And it's like we have to, right? And we have to, you know, kind of be onto ourselves when that's the case, right? I can tell you, look, as a health and fitness professional, there have been plenty of times in my life where I've fallen off the wagon and I'm not proud of it. And I'm like, you know what? I look in the mirror and I'm like, I do not look like who I want to look like. This shit's going to stop. And I've had a few of those moments, even in the last 5 years, pretty much since COVID. You know, I'm like,
COVID,
doing things different, you know?
Yeah. So, COVID was eye-opening in lots of ways and difficult in so many ways and really kind of changed the very fabric of our society.
Yeah.
Some ways good, some ways bad. I mean, I know addiction went through the roof during COVID.
Well, and I personally think that we're really scratching the surface now of the serious mental health repercussions.
Yeah.
Of what happened to people that were isolated and away from their support systems and all of that. And I just feel like there's not only an opportunity there for people to, you know, create a way forward for people from that, but I also think that we have to keep talking about it because we don't want to normalize that, well, this is just the way it is. It's not normal.
No, you know? Right. The isolation is terrible.
Yeah.
And people need to get out from home, out from behind that screen. Ironically enough, since we're on screen, but off from behind the screen and get out there. Like,
get out and go see people in person, have real conversations, you know,
face to face coffee.
Yeah.
It's a great thing to go do.
Let's just call it what it is. Safety is an illusion. There's never going to be a time where everything is perfectly safe because that's a load of crap, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Being honest. Yeah.
I mean, you walk out that door, bus. I mean, I said a proverbial bus could hit you, but. The truth is, you don't know. You don't know when. So, but you're going to go live your life in your room because you're afraid of what's out there.
Yeah.
I mean, you really want to look back at your life at the end.
Something that could potentially change your life.
Right. You want to, I don't want to be at the end of my life looking back and saying, man, I wish I would have, could have. No, you just go do it.
Yeah.
So that you have no regrets. I mean, that's kind of why I'm doing this journey now is I don't want to look back and say, I didn't try to do something.
Yeah. 100%. I love it. So much gold here. How can people connect with you?
Oh, I'm easy to find. You can go to my website, michellelock.com. Just remember, my mother spelled my name with one L, not two. And I'm an attorney, Michelle Locke, on both Instagram and Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn under my name as well. I do kind of like a Dear Abby. It's what would Michelle do through both my website and Instagram, where I answer people's questions and kind of give them my advice based on my experience in life, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. But I've made lots of mistakes. I've seen lots of mistakes. And if I can help someone avoid it or make someone's day better, then I've done some good in the world. And that's all I want to do. There's enough ugly. It's time to change the narrative to some more kindness and some more positivity.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think we need more of that. And the more we put out, the more we're going to get back, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, love it. Thank you so much for making time to talk to me today. It's been really fun, like hearing your story and all of that. And I know that there are a lot of people listening that are going to walk away with something that's going to help hopefully change things for them, which is always my goal.
I hope so as well. And if anyone has any questions, I'm very open about my journey. I even refer my surgeons because I love my surgeons. But yeah, if I can make someone's day better, then I've done good. And it's about doing good.
Yeah. Love it. Love it.
So thank you for the opportunity to do so.
Yeah, of course. My pleasure. So folks out there listening, if you would like to learn more about Michelle, about what she does and her journey, how she can help you, especially if you have legal questions or anything, please feel free to look for her on her website. That is Michelle Luck. That's Michelle with one L. You can find that link in the show notes. You can also find her on LinkedIn or Instagram. Those links are also in the show notes too. So you can connect with her if you like. And on that note, if what you heard today was helpful for you and you know somebody in your world who needs to hear this conversation, and there's a lot that we talked about here. So if there's something here that can be helpful to someone in your family or someone that you know that you love and care about, please feel free to copy the link to this episode and send it to them as a free gift from us. Or you can come over to my website and connect with me, and that is www.theallisonk.com. That's Allison also with one L. And just hit the connect button in the upper right-hand corner and write to me, and we will do it for you. This is why we've been able to build such an incredible audience while we're consistently ranked high in all the search engines. I hear from all of you all the time, and I love it when you write to me and you say, I loved that episode. That episode changed things for me. So we always welcome your feedback. Just know that my DMs are always open. So you can find me on any of the socials, or again, come over to my website and connect with me there, www.theallisonk.com. That's what I got for you this week on the podcast. This is Allison with The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. You're one step closer to living your ultimate life. So make it a good one.